Welcome everybody to Sunday Service. This is Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons with the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope ministry called Fish for People. This is our discipleship series. Well, we're all about discipleship here. So it's not necessarily a series, but it's what we do. And what is that? Bringing people to God and following the blueprint that Jesus left us. So we're going to have a good time. We're going to get into all things of the Bible. We're going to break it down. We're going to tell you how it relates to life. So come on. Come to church. Welcome, fishers, to the latest episode of the Fish for People Sunday Service podcast. I'm your host. My name is Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons with the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope Ministry, and I'll be your companion on this transformative journey through the rich tapestry of our Christian faith and spirituality. So today, we're going to embark on another profound exploration into the boundless depths of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a journey that promises to illuminate our understanding of God's presence and power in our lives. Now, I specifically titled this Unveiling the Power and Presence of the Holy Spirit and Doctrinal Outlines of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, this particular podcast invites us to delve into the multifaceted nature of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to unravel its mysteries and uncover its profound significance for all believers of all ages and all places. So as we navigate the sacred corridors of Scripture and delve into the timeless truth of God's Word, we'll discover the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in shaping the lives of believers throughout history and in contemporary times. So from the early church fathers to modern day revivalists, the Holy Spirit has been a guiding light, empowering believers to walk in faith and proclaim the gospel message with boldness and conviction. Why? Because that's what we do. We talk about the gospel and want to spread it everywhere, so that way people understand exactly what the good news is when we say we're bringing the good news. Now, throughout this exploration that we're going to partake in, we're going to dive really deep into the doctrinal outlines of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And we're going to try to unravel these intricate threads that weave together the fabric of our Christian belief and practice. So, from the sovereign majesty of God the Father to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ the Son and the empowering, powerful, unmistakable presence of the Holy Spirit, we're going to uncover the timeless truths that form the foundation of our faith. So, fishers, prepare your hearts and minds for a journey of spiritual enlightenment and revelation, because we're going to embark on this sacred quest to unveil the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. So may this particular podcast serve as a beacon and hope and inspiration for you, guiding you even closer to the heart of God and the transformative power of His love. So, welcome to Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast, where every episode is a divine encounter waiting to unfold and shape your life. So as always, let's start with an opening prayer. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, our gracious and merciful God, we come before you today with hearts overflowing with gratitude and reverence, just for the opportunity to gather in your presence through this podcast episode of Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast. Father God, as we embark on this journey of exploration and revelation of your word, we humbly ask for your guidance and illumination, that our hearts may be open to receive the wisdom and truth that you have prepared for us. Father God, we acknowledge your sovereignty and majesty, and we recognize that you are the source of all knowledge and understanding. We surrender ourselves to your divine will, Father God, trusting that you will lead us into deeper communion with you and unveil the mysteries of your Holy Spirit to us. Father God, I pray for the health, the safety, and to lift a hedge of protection over anybody that's under the sound of my voice. Father God, as the shepherd of this ministry, please anoint me with your Holy Spirit as I share your word with the world. Please grant me clarity of thought and speech, that my words may resonate with your power and authority. Because, Father God, it is not me that does any of this. I am just a vessel for you, Father God, hoping to touch the hearts and the minds of all who listen. Father God, we lift up the entire Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope Ministry, asking for your continued blessing and provision. May this ministry be a beacon of hope and healing to all who are in need, shining your light into the darkest corners of despair and bringing forth transformation and renewal. As we journey together through this podcast episode, Father God, may your Holy Spirit move among us, stirring our hearts with passion for your kingdom and empowering us to be agents of your love and grace in the world. May all that we say and do bring glory and honor to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, Amen. So now let's unravel this mystery, shall we? So the enigmatic presence of the Holy Spirit has intrigued and inspired many believers throughout times. So found within the pages of John 14 through 16, Jesus unveils the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a promise that reverberates throughout history and continues to shape the lives of believers today in 2024. So in these passages, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit as the comforter and counselor, a divine entity whose arrival is eagerly anticipated. Now, John 14, 16 through 17 captures the essence of this promise, and it says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." Now, in these words, Jesus articulates the forthcoming gift of the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father to aid and abide with believers for eternity. Now, eternity is forever. And this promise finds its fulfillment in the events of Acts 2. On the sacred day of Pentecost, marking a pivotal moment in the establishment of the early church. So delving deeper into Jesus' assurance, we uncover layers of profound significance. He assures his disciples, and by extension all believers, that the Holy Spirit will serve as a constant companion, guiding them into all truth and providing strength for the journey ahead. Now, this divine presence, invisible to the world, yet intimately known to believers, marks a profound shift in the relationship between humanity and the divine. So as we unpack this promise, we discover its enduring relevance for contemporary believers today. So things that were said 2,000 years ago have massive, massive relevance for today. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells in every believer, and it serves as our guiding force, leading us into deeper communion and communication with God, and empowering us to fulfill all of our divine callings, because we all have a calling. I have a calling, you have a calling. And I was lucky enough, to search my calling and to find it. But I only did that by having a conversation with God through Jesus. And if you surrender and let him in, he'll tell you everything that you need. And thus the mystery of the Holy Spirit starts to unfold. And as that unfolds, you're going to be invited into his world. And so it's inviting us into a journey of exploring and revealing. exploration, and revelation, where the true presence of God becomes a tangible reality in your life. So now you have the work of the Holy Spirit in creation and redemption. So the multifaceted role of the Holy Spirit extends way beyond the confines of human comprehension. Like, we can't fathom it. Like, we don't know what we don't know. Now, weaving through the tapestry of creation and redemption, he does that with divine purpose and power. So in Genesis 1-2, we glimpse the Holy Spirit's inaugural act in the drama of creation. And it said, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So here, amidst this primordial chaos, if you will, the Spirit of God is hovering. It's a divine presence ushering forth order from disorder, and hence light from darkness, and life from formlessness, or something from nothing, if you want to simplify it. Now, this particular verse, that underscores the pivotal role of the Holy Spirit as the agent of God's creative expression, which infused the cosmos with vitality and a purpose. Now, reflecting upon this, what I will call a foundational passage, we get to discern the Holy Spirit's creative agency permeating every facet of existence. So, from the majestic heavens to the intricate beauty of our natural world, right? The Spirit's gentle touch orchestrates a whole symphony of absolute divine craftsmanship, which reveals God's boundless creativity and absolutely unfathomable wisdom. Like, we can't grasp it mentally, the things that can happen. So when we try to grasp it with our mortal thought process, it doesn't work. On top of that, the Holy Spirit's involvement extends beyond the realms of creation, and it intertwines with the narrative of redemption and restoration. So in Romans 8:11, the Apostle Paul unveils his transformative work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And he says, "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." Do you know how powerful that is? I'm going to read that again. Listen. "And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you." My goodness, that's a mouthful. So if that Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us, the Holy Spirit, it will also give us the same life that raised Christ from the dead. It can raise us from our mortal death, which means if we need something, we have the Holy Spirit to tell us how to do what we need to do based on what he wants us to do. If you think about it and you really get into it, it all makes total sense. Now here Paul's illuminating the profound truth that the same Spirit who breathed life into creation now dwells within us, infusing us with resurrection power and enabling us to experience the fullness of redemption. We can be redeemed through anything through Christ. Now, this divine indwelling, it serves as catalyst for spiritual regeneration and sanctification, because believers now, we're empowered to overcome the bondage of sin and walk new. We're new creations. I don't think people get that. Once you're baptized and you come out of that water, you are brand new. You are not the one that went into the water. So as you raise up out of that water, you should already know who you want to be and what you want to be based on your conversations with God and him telling you what your gifts are, and now you becoming what God wanted you to become. Now, through this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, we are continually being transformed into the image of Christ. And we bear witness to the redemptive power of God's love and the enduring promise of restoration. So, the Holy Spirit's role in creation and redemption is like a testament to the depths of God's grace and possibilities found in communion with God. We talk to Him, He will talk back. And in my case, when he talks loud. And he talks loud because I haven't listened in the past. But now that I listen, he's making sure that I listen because he'll say it loud enough for me to know that it's him. And so now you have the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. So in this rich tapestry of our spiritual lives and Christianity, the Holy Spirit will bestow upon us an array of gifts and fruits, right? Each of them have a divine purpose and significance. So for me, it was faith, knowledge, and teaching, right? When we did a deep dive into the gifts of God, I was given faith. So my faith is strong. And knowledge, because He knows I loved information. I love to find information. I love researching. So then he dropped knowledge on me. And the ability now to teach that knowledge. So when you put all three together, it serves to tell me that everything he told me was right on track. Because here I am talking to you guys, right? So now found within the pages of Scripture, these actual manifestations of the Spirit will serve as an actual, tangible expression of God's grace and provision for your life, His people. So in 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul offers insight into the diverse gifts of the Spirit by telling believers or imparting to them the edification and enrichment of the body of Christ. Now these gifts range from wisdom and knowledge to healing and prophecy, and they get distributed according to the Spirit's sovereign will. Now, each one contributing to the multifaceted expression of God's kingdom on earth. It's definitely multifaceted. So if you have a gift, everybody has a gift. Some it's math, some it's the ability to speak, some it's a physical gift, sports, or maybe they've been given a voice to sing. Whatever it is, you have to use that gift within the body of Christ for His people. So once you start diving into the intricacies of these gifts, these spiritual gifts that God gives us, we get to uncover the tapestry of divine craftsmanship. It's almost like a master craftsman, somebody knows how to deal with wood or deal with metal, or you know, an absolute master of their craft. God is that plus a trillion things more, all in one. And He intricately weaves to complement and strengthen our community of faith. Like I said, whether it be the gift of tongue, being able to speak for edification, or the gift of discernment for guidance, each of these manifestations of the Spirit have a unique purpose. Some foster unity, some foster growth, but all of them that give us this unique purpose foster unity and growth within the body of believers. And on top of that, in Galatians 5:22 through 23, Paul expounds upon the fruits of the Spirit, right? A transformative harvest, I would call it. Now that's born from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in all of us. And it actually says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That self-control part is very important. Now, these fruits are emblematic of the character of Christ, and they serve as an outward manifestation of the Spirit's work in our hearts, in our lives, right? So when the Spirit hits you, you'll know it because you think it's coincidence or sixth sense or intuition or any of those things. If you're under the body of Christ and you have a relationship with God and you talk to Jesus, you'll realize that that outward manifestation of the Spirit, you'll know exactly what it is and what to do with it when you have it. It's undoubted. You can't miss it. So as we meditate on these fruits and these gifts, we get reminded of the profound impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it actually transforms us from the inside out and conforms us into the image of Christ. So Jesus left a blueprint for how we should act. And when we talk to God, He gives us our gifts and He gives us our purpose. Now that we have that from God, now we have our walk with Christ. And they work hand in hand. Now, absolutely, love, joy, and peace are hallmarks of our identity as children of God, right? While patience, kindness, and self-control, there's that word again, or those two words, self-control, those serve as guiding principles in our interactions with others, how we treat people. You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. I'm sure you heard that a million times. So the gifts and fruits of the Spirit stand as a testament to the ongoing work of God's grace in the world, in our life, and empowers us to embody love, truth, and the love and truth of Christ in all areas of our life. Now, as we attempt to cultivate a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit and discerning God's voice, we need to continually be filled with His presence. And once we do that, we will start to bear abundant fruit, which at the end of the day will be for the glory of God's kingdom. Because you become empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, like, embedded within the timelines of history, there's a profound narrative of believers who have been, like, supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it allows you to traverse the pathways of ministry and service with sheer conviction, excitement, and wanting. The Spirit moves you to the point where you want to help people. You want to give them the word. You want to be in your community and see what the need is and fulfill it. And God will tell you where to go and who to deal with. Now, in Acts, specifically 1:8, that serves as a call to believers across every generation. That echoes a promise of divine empowerment. I'll say that again, the promise of divine empowerment. And it says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That first sentence, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." That's pretty powerful, don't you think? Now, here in the echoes of Christ's commission, we get to discover another or more transformative power of that Holy Spirit that we've been talking about. Now, that ignites within us to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. Like, once you get it, and you've got it, and you understand it, and it's not a question, now you're all in. And you're gung-ho, and you're excited, and you're ready to go. Man, that'll take you to the ends of the earth. Now, reflecting on this particular verse, we can discern the Holy Spirit's role as a catalyst for bold and unyielding witness, and empowers us to transcend barriers of language, culture, geography, and our mission to share that message of salvation, right? So it doesn't matter what language, what culture, where they're at. People know God. Now, throughout pages of scripture and most of church history, we encounter tons of testimonies that attest and have been witness to the transformative impact of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. Like, there's pages and pages and pages. There's stories upon stories upon stories for hundreds of years about how the Holy Spirit has affected people's lives. I know it's affected my life personally. I know friends who the Holy Spirit has impacted. Like, it's a thing. And once it's on you, and you know it's on you, now that's a feeling that you can't buy. You can't. Nobody can give you that feeling except the Holy Spirit and God. And on top of that, this empowerment, this superpower that gets bestowed on us by the Holy Spirit transcends just proclamation. It transcends saying, I got the power. Like, you run out in the street and say, I got the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. It transcends words. And it extends into the realm of miraculous, anything. Like, there's no other word bigger than miraculous, a miracle. There'll be signs, there'll be wonders, like things that aren't supposed to happen. You've heard about people being on their death doorstep. They're ready to go. And somebody put hands on them and put a prayer. And next thing you know, the doctor's like, we don't know what happened, but he's up in the bed doing crosswords. Like, these things have happened. Now, there's tons of testimonies of individuals who, empowered by this Holy Spirit, have witnessed the miraculous ability of God's power. As these people stepped out in faith and obedience to what God wanted for their life. Now, whether that's the healing of the sick, casting out of demons, whatever it may be, these specific displays of divine intervention, right? Those are tangible demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's sovereignty and authority in the lives of believers, of us. Now, as we continue to contemplate the empowering presence of this Holy Spirit, we get invited into a deeper understanding of our identity and purpose as ambassadors of Christ in a world that needs redemption bad. Like, it's getting bad out here. And it's like, I don't know how people don't get it, that they need Christ. They need the armor of God. We need all of this to survive in this world. And the world's longing for it. And may we, like those who have gone before us, we need to be filled with the power of this Holy Spirit and go out and tell people about the good news, the gospel, and advancing God's kingdom with unwavering faith and courage. Like, this walk ain't easy. It ain't easy being a Christian in 2024. Like, not a lukewarm Christian, not a 1 foot in and 1 foot out. I'm talking about the whole body in the water. It's not easy, but it's the most fulfilling walk you will ever take. Because at the end of the day, it's the Holy Spirit's power over us that equips us to fulfill the Great Commission, right? And we get to bear witness to this power of God's love to everybody. So, you know how people say, talk, no talk, more action. Well, when you talk about something like the power of God, people are just going to look at you like, okay. But when they see a life change, when they go, oh my goodness, that he's not the same. How did he do this? How did that happen? When did this? Yeah. That's what happens. Now they're wondering, how did he do that? And now they're on a mission to see how they can get what you got. So now let's talk about the Holy Spirit in the church's history and in context to contemporary church, to like today. So as we kind of travel down the roads of church history, we see there was rich tapestry of narratives that were tied together by the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. And that presence and power left a mark across generations, an indelible mark on their hearts and on their minds. So this has been going on for more than 2,000 years, and these stories have power because lives were changed. People were healed. Demons were cast out. Like, the words that I'm speaking cannot do it justice. Right? So from the infancy of the early church up until now, the Holy Spirit has been the driving force behind tons of movements and revivals, right? Putting hearts on fire for God and creating changing communities and entire nations. So the pages of history are full of accounts of divine encounters, miraculous manifestations that actually testify to the legacy of the Holy Spirit's work in this world. Like, pay attention, because the story's out there. And if you're one with God, you know how real it is. Now, throughout the centuries, there's been moments of spiritual awakenings and renewals. And those have been characterized by an emphasis on the Holy Spirit's power and presence. Now, there's something called the Azusa Street Revival. And it's the outpouring of experience and manifestations. And it was marked by a watershed moment in the history of Pentecostalism, which actually birthed an entire global movement that continues to impact millions of lives today. Now, similarly, there was a Welsh revival, and that was led by the ministry of somebody named Evan Roberts, and witnessed a move of the Holy Spirit, right? And thousands were swept into a repentance and revival. And that sparked an entire spiritual awakening that went throughout the Welsh nation and beyond that. Even in more recent times, I would call it the charismatic renewal. Now that serves as a catalyst for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power and presence within today's mainstream denominations, which is leading to a renewed emphasis on spiritual gifts, divine healing, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives in 2024 and beyond. So there's been events, there's been testimony, there's been witness to the Holy Spirit's power within the history of the church. This is going back, you know, when Jesus rose from the dead, is the Holy Spirit. Now today, on top of the complexities of the modern world, we as believers will continue to seek the guidance and empowerment of the Holy Spirit as we attempt to navigate this ever-changing landscape of mission and ministry, right? This world marked by true uncertainty and total upheaval, the Holy Spirit will remain a constant source of strength and assurance, which equips us to actually say that the gospel message and the demonstration of the power of God's kingdom is extremely tangible today. Right? The Holy Spirit is something that we as believers, we feel it. We know it. And when God says go, we go. When God calls, we answer on the first ring. So, as we continue to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us, let's, as the body of Christ, continue to cultivate a deep, deep, deep dependence on the Holy Spirit, right? We have to allow His presence and His power to lead us into a greater depth of intimacy with Him. And that will create effectiveness in our witness to the world and what we do. So when He talks to us, right, through the Holy Spirit, and He says, you know, this is what I need you to do, and you go ahead and do it, and it blesses your household and it helps your community, this is what I mean by witness to the world. Now, because it's only by the Holy Spirit's guidance and its empowerment that we're empowered to fulfill the Great Commission. And we get to usher in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Remember that? As it is in heaven. So that's what we do when we follow the Holy Spirit. Now, cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit is something that you have to do. Because at the heart of our Christian faith, there's a profound invitation to cultivate this deep and intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, this divine presence that dwells within all of us, it guides us, it comforts us, and it truly empowers us on our journey. Now, in a world that's full of distractions and challenges and problems and issues and this, that, the other thing, we get to nurture this sacred connection with the Spirit. And nurturing that is absolutely essential for experiencing the fullness of God's presence and His power in our life. So in Acts 2:42, it provides a poignant illustration of the early believers' commitment to nurturing their relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Right? I'll say that again. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So what does that mean? So they believed in what they were doing, and they devoted everything in their life to what the apostles were teaching them. And the apostles were taught straight from Jesus. And of course, the fellowship, to get together, to talk, break bread, and to pray. It doesn't get any more powerful than that. That's what we need to do in our own communities. Devote ourselves to God's word, fellowship with other Christians, break bread and pray. It's very simple. So here amidst the backdrop of this early Christian community, we get to witness the dedication that they had to spiritual discipline and communal worship. Now, all of this was under the guidance and empowerment of what? There you go, the Holy Spirit. Now, this commitment to fellowship, prayer, and the study of God's word, it served as their foundation, and the foundation which the early church was built on. And it fostered unity, spiritual growth, and at the end of the day, an extremely vibrant expression of their faith. Now, in our modern day world, cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit is going to require intentionality and perseverance. I'll say that again. In our modern world today, for us to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's going to require y'all to be very intentional. Intentionality and persevere. Because there's going to be distractions, tough times, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, but you can persevere and be intentional about what you do. Your Holy Spirit will grow. Now, through practice of your spiritual discipline, like prayer, meditation on scripture, worship, and fasting. Yes, even me at 120 pounds soaking wet with 50 pounds of rocks in my pockets. Yes, I will fast in moderation, right? Because if I fast too much, I'll turn sideways and you won't be able to see me. I'll disappear. Like a cloak of invisibility, right? But as believers, we can create space for the Holy Spirit to move and speak in our lives, right? Because it's through these moments of quiet surrender and very active listening that we open ourselves up to the transformative work of the Holy Spirit. And we allow God to illuminate truth, convict our hearts, and ultimately lead us into deeper intimacy with Him, with God. And on top of that, surrendering to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life is going to require humility and obedience on top of that. Humility, obedience, surrender, right? You getting all of this? You have to surrender. And as we relinquish the control and surrender and yield to His guidance in everything that we do, every aspect of our lives, we'll position ourselves to experience this transformative power, and when we'll start to bear fruit that glorifies God. Whether it's in personal relationships, professional relationships, in work, out of work, or even in your ministry, the Holy Spirit wants to partner with us. It's going to empower us to walk in alignment with God's will and the purpose for our lives. All of this works together. Now, in the journey of cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we get invited into almost a sacred dance of surrender and intimacy, right? Where our hearts are constantly and continually transformed and renewed by His presence, by God being in our lives and us following the blueprint that Jesus left. And at the end of the day, may we as believers be steadfast in that pursuit of the Holy Spirit, which then will draw Him closer to us and our hearts open and our spirit receptive to where He leads us. Because it's only through our relationship with the Holy Spirit that we're empowered to live lives that reflect love, grace, and power of God. We want to reflect God. He has love. He has grace. And we want to reflect that in our lives because people will see it. At the end of the day, people are going to look at how we live our life. We can say what we want, say all the right things. But if you say all the right things and do all the wrong things, you gave yourself up right there. Because you can talk the talk, but you gotta walk the walk. And at the end of the day, that's what it is. So surrender and allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life and have a conversation with God. And let Him lead you where He needs to lead you, because He knows where you need to go. So I hope you've learned a little bit more. If you didn't already know, and if you already knew, hopefully it gave you something to think about. Because at the end of the day on this podcast, we want to help you think about your relationship with God. And are you really following the blueprint that Jesus left? Now, if you're not, as long as you're trying, right? God's working on you. But the things that you know you're not supposed to do, you need to stop. And the things that you know God wants you to do, you need to start doing now. And we're not going to be perfect. Nobody is. You can't be. No such a thing. Only Jesus was. But if you work on yourself and you surrender your life to God and you allow the conversation to continue with God, and he gives you the Holy Spirit, and you're discerning the Word of God, and you're doing Bible study, and you're cultivating relationships with other Christians, and you're supporting each other and praying for each other. That is where it's at. That's the sweet spot. That's when you know things are working. And then you'll start to see the fruits of God. You'll see fruits being bared, fruits are getting bared on the tree. You'll bear fruit in your life. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but go check out the Holy Spirit, or let it check you out. Let it bless your life. So as we end this episode, let's bow our heads. in conclusion and begin with our closing prayer. Father God, as we come to the close of this podcast episode, we give you thanks for the abundant blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We are grateful for the insight and the revelations that we have received through your word and the prompting of your Holy Spirit. Father God, we pray that the seeds of truth planted in our hearts today will take root and bear fruit in all of our lives, transforming us into faithful disciples and witnesses of your gospel. May the power and presence of your Holy Spirit continue to dwell within us, guiding us in the paths of righteousness and empowering us to fulfill your purposes in the world through us as your vessels. Father God, please lift up every person under the sound of my voice, asking for your continued grace and favor upon their work. May they be strengthened and encouraged by your Spirit as they seek to minister to those in need and proclaim the good news of your kingdom. Father God, as we go forth from this time of worship and reflection, may your peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we walk in the light of your truth, shining as beacons of hope and love in a world that desperately needs your healing touch. We commit ourselves and this podcast into your hands, Father God, trusting that you will continue to use it for your glory and the expansion of your kingdom. All praise, honor, and glory be unto you now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say, amen. So I just want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Fish for People Sunday Service Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Pastor Kevin Tolliver Lyons with the Susan D. Lyons Foundation for Hope Ministry. And we will see you on the next episode, where there's going to be a little surprise. So, join us next time. Stay tuned. God bless.